But this morning we are thinking about world mission. And the verse that struck me as I was preparing before we come to the Acts passage were these words that Jesus himself spoke. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached to the whole world as a testimony to all nations. And then the end will come. Those are quite powerful words for those of us who are expecting Jesus Christ to return. God's heart is for a lost world. And God's heart from the very beginning was to see human beings who had been separated from God due to disobedience and rebellion to be restored back to himself. And so everything we are doing on earth is really to live out that the testimony of Jesus Christ may be heard by every single person in the nations, in ethnic groups, where we have whole communities of people who have no access to the gospel of Christ. And so when we think about world mission, we are basically reflecting on the fact that mission is God's mission. It's not us to try and do things for him. It's God who is already at work in the world. And so mission comes of the whole idea, Missio Dei. God is a mission-hearted God seeking to restore back people to himself, humanity that has been lost. And God is working. And so in mission, God is inviting you and I to come alongside him as he does the work. He goes ahead of us to prepare people's hearts, to create hunger and thirst for God. He's the one who opens people's minds to understand their lostness before God. And so our role is to work alongside him as he does the work. And mission flows out of our obedience in response to God's call, God's heart, to want to be aligned with what God is doing in the world. So that's what mission is about. So when we think about world mission, it's asking ourselves the question, what is my role in what God is doing? What is God inviting me to do alongside him? There are so many things and so many different roles that God has. And God is inviting us to join him in what he is doing. And let me just say this at the beginning, that God is at work as powerfully in the world today as he was in the days the scriptures were written. People are coming to Christ to know the living Savior out of backgrounds of brokenness in places where the gospel has not been preached. It's penetrating and people are responding to Christ. And the secret is that God is a powerful God who can break every chain, every bondage, every resistance, because that's his heart, that just as you and I have come to know Christ, we have a chance to be witnesses of that God's changing and saving grace. On Monday, when I was preparing and thinking about today, I remembered a story that is told slightly differently each time, but it happened 170 years ago on the 6th of January, 1850, in Colchester. It had snowed, and so a 15-year-old boy was trying to get to church. And because of the snow, he decided to find shelter in a small Methodist church. And as he entered the church, this 15-year-old man, boy, Charles Spurgeon, was pointed out to a verse in Isaiah 45, verse 22, by one of the deacons. And this is what the passage of scripture said: "Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else." Spurgeon says, "I can never tell you how it was, but I no sooner saw whom I was to believe than I also understood what it was to believe, and I did believe in that moment." This is just the evidence of how God works through his word. A young boy stumbles into a church building. The word of scripture is just read as it is.
and it changes Charles's heart. And he went on to be one of the greatest preachers this country has produced as he led many other people to Christ. So as we think about world mission today, let's go back to Acts chapter 1, verse 1 and verse 2, and draw some lessons from it as Theophilus writes this two-volume account, the first of all, which was the Gospel of Luke, and the second one, the book of Acts, in which he records the things that the apostles continued to do after Jesus was taken up into heaven. And as you read that Acts of the Apostles, which I think accurately should be called Acts of the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit was working as the church was birthed on the day of Pentecost and used ordinary men and women to continue the work that Jesus Christ had started. So in verse 1 and 2, the first thing we notice that there were instructions given by Jesus Christ. As we think about God's call and sending, it should not be lost to us that in the Gospels, Jesus had called to himself those he wanted and had appointed them, the 12, so that they may be apostles, first of all to be with him and so that he may send them out, as we read in Mark's Gospel chapter 3. And at the end of his earthly ministry, Jesus commanded his followers to go and make disciples of all nations, all ethnic groups, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything he had commanded them. Luke is very careful in Acts to point out to Theophilus the connection between the Gospels and the Acts of the Apostles. The connections is Jesus. It's Jesus who gave the disciples the clear instructions through the Holy Spirit what they were to do when he was gone. We see that in the Gospels where... Oh, is that the whole passage? I'm lost with the PowerPoint. The PowerPoint is very simple, yes. Instructed by Christ. So the PowerPoint is very simple, just to highlight the few main points I want to make this morning. So it's instructed by Christ. And the first point is that in Christ's instructions, we see the teachings in the Gospels. Every single Gospel had the teachings of Jesus that were so clear to those he had worked with. It was about the kingdom of God, God's reign on earth. You know, today when we think about the kingdom of Great Britain in history, it's slightly different from the kingdom of God, because the kingdom of God, it's where his reign and sovereignty is. And it's across the whole globe. It's not limited to a particular jurisdiction. It's not limited just among the believers in Christ. The kingdom of God is about him establishing his reign on earth. And so Jesus had given very clear instructions to his disciples, the apostles, through the teachings in the gospel about the kingdom of God, and also that they may wait in Jerusalem until they were empowered from on high. They were to stay in Jerusalem until they were empowered from on high through the Holy Spirit, and then they would go out into the whole world to proclaim Christ. The second thing we find in Acts is chapter 1 and verse 3, in which they are to be informed by the scriptures. It's worth noting how Luke writes in verse 3 that after his suffering, Jesus presented himself to the apostles he had chosen by many convincing proofs that he was alive. That's very key, because within that set of scripture, the heart of that statement is the content of the gospel. The gospel is about Jesus Christ, his life, his ministry, his service. And we find that salvation is in Christ. It's not merely an emotional experience, but it is based on teachings, on doctrine. And so as Jesus presented himself to the apostles he had chosen by many convincing proofs that he was alive, we begin to see that Jesus is affirming that every prediction about his life had come true. And so he was reminding them that even his suffering and death was all part of God's salvation plan. You find that in Luke chapter 24, verse 45 to 48, when Jesus has been raised back to life, that same day the disciples are discouraged. He comes across two of them on the road to Emmaus, and then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. He told them, "This is what is written. The Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead, and on the third day, repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all the nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things." The message of mission is about Christ, his incarnation, his life, his ministry, his death, his resurrection. It was about Jesus on the cross, where we were finally given the opportunity to be reconciled back to God. As Jesus hung on the cross, carrying the sin of the whole world, facing the wrath of God and the punishment of God on that cross, we are reminded, as John writes in John chapter 19, verse 28 to 30, he cried out, "It is finished," as he cried out on the cross. That was the end of the work of Satan. As Jesus demolished the works of darkness, he completed the work of salvation as he hung on that cross. So we now can look up to Christ for hope and help, to know that Jesus reigns and he can deal with all the difficulties and problems and sin and discouragements and disillusionment that we can have. Because the plan of God is that we can live, that we live in a perfect relationship with God, even though we ourselves may not be perfect. And as Jesus hung on the cross, Isaiah writes this of him in Isaiah chapter 53. "He was despised and rejected by men, familiar with suffering. We esteemed him not. He carried our sorrows, yet we considered him stricken by God, smitten by him and afflicted. He was pierced for our transgressions, crushed for our iniquities, and the punishment that brought us peace was upon him." That's how far Jesus humbled himself on the cross. So the disciples are being reminded that in Christ's suffering, he fulfilled the scriptures so that all that he had taught them can be brought into completion for those who put their trust in him. And then there's the third thing that we find in this particular passage in Acts, in verse 8. The apostles were to be filled with the Spirit. In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, Luke writes, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." This command illustrates the missionary task that was being given to these apostles. It started in one's locality, but did not end there. God always had a global heart and mind. If you like it, he was inviting them to think globally, but act locally, starting in their local Jerusalem. And for us this morning, as we think about world mission, maybe our Jerusalem is right here in Canterbury. This is our Jerusalem where God is asking us to begin to think, what is God's heart for the very place where you live? For others, Canterbury is the ends of the earth because they are nowhere near here. But God, in the present time, is working in amazing ways. He's calling people from anywhere and sending them everywhere. In history, we thank God that he has used the West to take the gospel to many other places. But God is now raising people from everywhere and sending them to anywhere. One of the fastest growing mission sending nations is China today. They are sending so many missionaries in the midst of great difficulty and persecution. And God is working. And yet, on the other hand, many of them are coming to this country to study. It's the largest group of international students we receive in the UK. And they have an opportunity, some of them, to hear about Jesus for the very first time. And they are coming to know Jesus. So China is sending, and as some go for other reasons like study and business, they are also coming to know Jesus. But in this particular case, Luke is reminding us that this mission was not going to be done in their own strength. God promised that you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. In other words, God will equip you to be witnesses, empowered for ministry, but also empowered to be worshipers of God. You know, one of the most amazing things that happens on the day of Pentecost, when finally the Holy Spirit comes upon these people who have been waiting in prayer, you notice the Bible tells us that people were gathered from every nation under the earth. Many of them were Jewish people who had been scattered. Others were proselytes who had converted. But you notice that as they gather, and the Bible mentions those who were present, we had people from every inconceivable nation, or every conceivable nation in the earth at that point, representing the fact that God was preparing world mission, that his name may be glorified by people across the whole world. And maybe for some of us, as we think about that Acts story, maybe the highlight for some of us is the fact that people were speaking in tongues and speaking the word of God in all these diverse languages. But that's not the highlight of that passage. The highlight is that the wonders of God could be heard, proclaimed in languages people could understand. And that is so important for us today, that there are so many people who are looking and seeking for hope and truth, but they have no one to share that truth with them. There are people in worlds and countries where, if they are to name a Christian, they know no single Christian. And God is inviting us to think about such people because it's in God's heart. So the climax of this passage, as the disciples are filled with the Spirit, is so that they can be empowered and equipped to proclaim Christ and declare his wonders, which is worship. We have been created for worship. The fact that we come to know Jesus is not the end. It's not just for us. We have been invited to know Jesus that we may declare his wonders and honor him as God, because that's the reason why we have been created. And John Piper has often said that mission exists because worship doesn't. We take the gospel out there in mission so that others may come to know Jesus Christ and therefore worship him appropriately. This morning, as we think about that, I just wondered whether there are things that maybe apply to us in terms of priority of where we should be thinking in terms of mission. Two things came to mind that I just want to throw out there for you today. The first one, Hannah has already brought out in some of the questions she asked us earlier. 42% of the world remain unreached. And in terms of mission, it means that they live in places where less than 2% of that population know Jesus Christ. And within mission, it has been shown or studied that if there's less than 2% of people who know Christ in a particular community, without outside help, it's very difficult for them to sustain church planting movements because there are just too few Christians. And so as we think about priority of mission today, it's that we may pray that God will raise workers for the harvest field to go into these places where if one wants to meet a Christian, they have no chance of meeting a Christian because they are just so few. That we may think about this part of the world that is extremely needy. The majority of this part of the world fall into what most of you here probably know is the 1040 window. They lie in countries located between 10 and 40 degrees latitude, which covers most of Asia and the Arab world. That is the pocket of the world that is extremely needy when it comes to mission. And sadly, today, 90% of missionaries who are still going in cross-cultural mission go to places that already has strong churches. Very few are being sent to places that actually truly need them. Now, why is that so? It's because many of these places are difficult to get into. There are restrictions, they're in hardship areas, there's persecution. So if you wanted to go, it's not easy. Just 2 months ago, I was in a chance in North Africa. We had planned, there's some work we are trying to do there to take the gospel up into North Africa, but also encourage the believers. Let me tell you, it's frightening. It's difficult to get into these places. They are being watched, a few believers, they are being watched. For the first time, there were severe security issues that we had to deal with. And as we think about taking the gospel to these places, it's becoming complicated. There's persecution, there's resistance, there's hostility. But we must listen to Christ, because even the disciples in the days of the apostles, in the days of Acts, they stepped forward to take the gospel in times when it was difficult. Those early apostles were not allowed to proclaim that Jesus is Lord, and especially when emperors like Nero came up. No one could be Lord except the emperors of their times. But the disciples and the apostles chose to obey Christ. Many of them went into prison, and some of them lost their lives. And it's happening in the same way today. We need to pray that God, who is the Lord of the harvest, may send workers into these places. But the only way we can go is by obeying the instructions of Jesus, by being equipped by his word that he has given us, but also by being empowered by his Holy Spirit who comes to live in us to give us boldness. Most of us, if we are honest as human beings, we find it difficult to bear witness for Jesus Christ. Leave alone facing hostile nations. It's difficult enough to share it with family members who don't even carry a gun. How about going to places where people, where you may lose your life for proclaiming Christ? And yet this is the invitation Jesus Christ gives us, to walk in obedience. And as we do that, God has promised to be with us, because he is a missionary God whose heart is for the nations. So what are some of the things we can do? I just want to put out there four ways in which you can get involved today. First of all, we say prayer. It's easily said, more easily said than done. But if there's one thing that God invites us to do, Jesus himself says in Matthew 9:38, pray that the Lord of the harvest will send workers into the harvest field. So if you want to know what it means to pray in God's will, well, there's the prayer for you. Pray that God will raise people to go into the harvest field. You may not be thinking that you are the one, and that's not a problem, because if you need to go, God will make it clear for you. But for each one of us, God calls us to pray. Let's pray against the injustices and prejudices that fill the world today. Pray that the kingdom of God may come into places where whole communities do not know Jesus Christ. Pray that the power of the gospel may be clear as missionaries go and spread the gospel. When they are kicked out of countries because of proclaiming Christ, pray that there will be nationals who come to receive Christ and continue the work even when foreign missionaries are kicked out, because God is sovereign. We can begin to pray for these nations. And not all unreached nations are poor. One of the most needy countries is Japan. One of the most unreached countries is Japan today. And so those of us who are scared of going to very unreached and remote places, pray about Japan, where it's not as hostile, but people are equally needy. But secondly, we can give. We can give especially our time. The most expensive commodity in the Western world today is time. It's very difficult to find time. Let's pray that God will move in our hearts, that we may create space and time for God to use us to be his instruments of peace. But also let's learn to give our finances to support the work of God. God blesses us so that we can bless others. Many of these unreached places are very poor. Missionaries today are finding it very difficult to raise support. In fact, support for Christian proclamation of the gospel has dropped significantly. There's more money out there to help justice causes, and there's nothing wrong with that. But you can do all the justice issues, but if people do not know Christ, they are still lost forever. So we need to pray that God will provide funds so that those who are actually sharing the gospel itself may be able to do that. But also pray that we can learn to give our hospitality or welcome. This is a challenging thing to do, especially in a very individualistic society. Is it possible that God will touch us to open our homes? One of the things I was just noticing, that as the world changes and migration issues become very hot issues in Europe, God, in his sovereign providence, has allowed the world to reshape itself. And many of these people in places where they have no access to the gospel are now in Europe as refugees, as asylum seekers, as economic migrants. Now, politically, it could be a crisis. But for children of God who understand the heart and mind of God, God has always used migration in history to expand his kingdom. It's a great opportunity for us to practice hospitality in Christ's name for the sake of introducing people to the gospel of Christ. And how you do it is God will have to guide you, because maybe there's room for wisdom on how we do it, but nonetheless, God invites us to be welcoming and show hospitality to a stranger. If you look at the refugee asylum seeking stats for this country, in the top 10 countries over the last 4 or 5 years, all those countries are people coming from nations where there is no freedom to proclaim Christ. And yet they are coming to our neighborhood, they are living on our streets, and it is so easy because of the current climate to be prejudiced against them. It is so easy, it's human nature. But with the Holy Spirit, could the Holy Spirit be moving in your heart to begin to see that that's a mission opportunity? You don't need an air ticket. You don't need to travel away from your comfort, but you can introduce Christ to these people, because once they know Christ, they themselves will become ambassadors for him. Thirdly, we can learn to speak. Speak the good news. It was Carl Henry who said that the gospel is only good news if it gets there in time. We need to learn to grow our confidence to share the gospel of Christ. Yes, there's nothing wrong with living right and showing love and practical help, but the thing that sets people free is the truth of the gospel of Christ. Maybe we can share the Bible with people we meet. Do you know the Bible is the tool that is making most Muslims come to Christ, because they can read the Bible in their own language. There are Muslims who come from countries that are not Arabic speaking, and the Quran can only be given in Arabic for it to be genuine. The Bible is translated to all these different languages. And as they read the scriptures, God opens their hearts and they turn to Christ. And one of the fastest growing churches in this country is Iranian speaking churches across the UK and Europe, because they have come to read the scriptures in their heart language and they have come to discover the love and grace of God. So let us speak out by God's grace. We can share the Jesus film. You know, maybe one of the ways you can do is to buy lots of copies of Jesus film. And as you meet and talk with people, just give it to them. There's a man who lives here in Canterbury, and the calling God has given him, he's not part of this church, but the calling God has given him, he discovered that there are lots of truck drivers on the A2 and the M2. So every week he goes to where these trucks are parked, and many of these drivers from Europe, he gives out the Jesus film because it has, you know, the text in their languages. And that's how he's helping proclaim Christ to truck drivers who are idle on the A2. We can do that and find creative ways. And finally, I'll just finish with the fact that we can go. Not all of us are going to be called to leave this place. That's the good news for some of us. But there are some the Lord will separate. He'll call you to leave your comfort, your people, your language, and cause you to travel to a different place. It's going to be a small number. Others can support them and send them. But be prepared that if God calls you to go, the only right thing you can do is to go, because that's God's heart for the nations. So my prayer this morning, that as we think about mission, I just want to remind you that God is at work in very powerful ways. He's at work in the UK. He's at work in the world. We may not always feel that God is at work. Maybe in our own lives, we are struggling with so many different things. There are so many things we struggle with. We struggle with the politics. We struggle with migration. We struggle with family breakdowns and issues. But God reigns. He is on the throne. Our family over these 2 months are going through a Bible study thinking about the Lord on the throne. And it's been so reassuring to me that despite all the problems I seem to face every single day, God is still on the throne. He reigns. And mine is to bow before him and worship him and trust him that he will deal with the problems around me. I can do my part in trying to get out of these difficulties. But God is the sovereign God. He reigns. It's his world. And he's working in my life. He's working in your lives. He's working in Barton Church. And what he's calling for us today is that we may be obedient as we serve God locally. Let's not forget that God also has a global part for each us as a church to influence places where the gospel has not been heard. It's not to do everything, but there are specific things that God is inviting us to do. But all that will only work if it's clothed in prayer. The disciples spend time praying and waiting for the gift of the Father. And it's in that condition of praying and waiting, God came and met with them. And even the fearful disciples, when they were empowered, they were able to step out and proclaim Christ boldly. We too can do it, not in our own strength, but in the name of Christ, who has called us and sent us out. Amen.